Savior, I know for sure. All of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently called me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me and mold me. Use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me and guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me and mold me. Use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Amen. Amen. Sorry, there was another request here, Brother Brian. Brother Brian, I didn't see it. I was just tidying up here. Brother Brian can come sing. Amen.
Good morning, saints. This is getting a bit tattered like me. I'd like to sing the old rugged cross. Okay, Brother George?
What key is it?
Possibly A. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross with the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it in dark Calvary. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will drink to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and approach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. The old rugged cross. That's where I desire to be found. Amen. Let's stand up, we worship now, we come to an end. Hallelujah, we praise God.
I enter Holies of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, to worship you only, Lord. To honor I am. Would I worship you? I worship. Oh Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Oh, your name. Jesus, to honor I am. Oh, Lord, I worship you. I worship. Lord, I worship you, Lord, I worship you. Oh,
your name is Holy God. For your name is holy. For your name is holy. Holy, holy. Holy Elohim. Let the way go. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, the weight of your glory. For your name is holy, you are holy, holy God. For your name is holy, for your name is holy, 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 holy Elohim. Lord, you are holy today, Lord, for your name is holy, for the everlasting. Take me past the outer courts into that holy place, past the praising altar. Lord, I want to see only your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, but it's only found in your presence, Lord. Take me into the holies of holies. Lord, take me into the blood of the Lamb. Lord, take me into the holies of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the cold, Lord, take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me into the holy solace, take me into the holiest of holies. Lord, take me into the blood of the Lamb. Lord, take me into the holiest of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take the cold this morning, take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am.
That would be our desire. I'm sure it's your desire, Lord. Take the cold, cleanse our lips. Here we are. Saints, a very serious request here. Brother Wilmer's asking for prayer for his brother Titch. We know him well. He was here a few months back preaching for us. He was involved in a car accident Friday night. Is still in hospital undergoing surgery this morning. So you want to really put him before the Lord. And also Brother Pele is asking for prayer. He can't make it this morning. He's at work. I'll put this announcement for the end there, Brother Will. Let's pray for this request right now. Father, we just want to come into the Holy of Holies. Father, we just want to come beyond the outer court. Father, we know the days of the outer court. But Father, there's something more glorious than that. We just want to come, Lord, past the brazen altar, Lord. Father, laying our sins upon the sacrifice that has been made for us. And we want to move within the veil, the first veil. Father, we want to walk in the light of the candlestick, Lord. And we want to come unto the altar, Lord, of incense upon this day. Father, we want to come unto the golden altar. Father, to bring your prescribed sacrifice, the blood, the token. Father, and to put our incense upon it, Lord, upon this day. Father, right before your presence, Lord, right before your Shekinah glory, and we want to bring our brother up into your presence upon this day. Brother Titch, we just want to ask of you, Father, that you'll just be with the hands of the doctors, Lord, knowing that you are the great physician. Whatever needs to be done, whatever needs to be set right, Father, we just pray, Lord, that your power, that your unction, that your virtue, that your grace would be there in that place, that Father, you would minister everything back to the place that it should be, that Father, you would speed the healing, that Father, you would do something wonderful, Lord, that Father, you would just keep him in perfect peace as his heart would be stayed upon you upon this day. I do pray as well, Lord, for Brother Pele. Bless him, be with him at work, Lord. Draw nigh to him, fellowship with him, Lord. Father, them that are still away, Brother Max, his family, bless them as well. Bring them safely back. Father, we've come into your house upon this day. Father, we don't want to, Lord, fellowship around anything else but your will. That's what we desire. We just want to enter in, and we're going to need your grace, Father, to do that once again upon this day. So, Lord, we're praying, Lord, that your precious blood would cover this place upon this day, that your mercy and grace, Lord, just reach down unto us, Lord. Father, we are hungry people in our souls. We are thirsty people down in the inner man, Father, and you are the only one that can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy our souls. And, Father, we've come with an expectation. We're looking to you. Grant us mercy, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Saints, let's open our Bibles. Let's open Luke chapter 21. May the Lord bless you this morning. We greet you in Jesus' name. It's good in these kind of times to be a believer. I don't know if you feel that, but I really appreciate being a believer. As we see the world falling apart, as we see just the things taking place all around, and even in the ranks of the message in certain places, you just so much do appreciate. I was speaking yesterday to Brother Eugene from Ukraine, Brother Ryabov, the pastor there. We're trying to arrange for him to come at Christmas time to visit us. But I was speaking to him, and he said that he quoted the words of that song. I love that song, you know. The world is falling apart. I'm so glad Jesus lives down in my heart. And friends, it's got to be a reality, a living reality. Luke 21, let's read from 25 to 28, the words of the Son of Man himself. The Lord Jesus Christ had been asking him, what are the signs of your coming? What are the signs of the end of the age? Amen. And he says in verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring. Yeah, friend, I don't know, but the longer I go as a believer and the closer we get near the end, the more clear it becomes to me. Amen. We are living right in that scripture. The distress among the nation. There's perplexity. They don't know what to do. Amen. How are they going to overcome all of these problems? Men's hearts failing them for fear. Hallelujah. It says that in the next verse, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. With power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. I don't know about you, but I really feel it in my soul. Redemption is drawing near, saints. We've said it for years. People have warned us for years. The prophet told us over and over again. And we're right coming into that season, friends. How long it takes, we don't set dates. We don't know that day nor the hour. But my soul would persuade me to persuade you. It's time to watch and pray. Because that time is drawing near. Let's read one more verse, one more scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll get our thought from here. We just want to catch up with some current events. It's one of those kind of services today. If you don't like those kind of services, it's okay. Things will be fine again next week. But as for me, if ever I find something which I feel is beneficial, I really do believe it's good to share it with the saints. Amen. To bring ourselves up to date, because we don't want to be like them that are taken unawares. We're the children not of the night, we're children of the day. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 up to 20. We're going to read quite a lengthy portion. But this is really a prophetic scripture, as well as being the Lord just speaking to the children of Israel. Many people, we know the scripture, but I thought it was quite a relevant one. Deuteronomy 8 from verse 10. He's speaking of when Israel would come into their land. And he says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Now, friends, there's very few people who can do that. When the Lord really prospers you, materially your things are going fine, you've got a nice house, you've got a nice car, you've got a nice home, we tend to forget the Lord. But the Lord says, when I do these things for you, when I separate you as my covenant people, when I show my love for you, even in material blessings and peace and prosperity, there's one thing you must do, and that you must bless the Lord your God. Bless the covenant God, Jehovah, The one who's made this covenant with you and you're receiving these covenant blessings, bless the Lord. He says, verse 11, beware, it's a warning, that thou forget not the Lord thy God. And how do we forget him? He's going to tell us, in not keeping his commandments. So you say, how can I forget the Lord? When you don't keep his word, when you don't live in his word, when you don't walk with him, you've forgotten the Lord. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Sounds like Laodicea. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Did the Lord not do that to you? Were you not dying spiritually in Laodicea, and he broke open the rocks of revelation and he poured forth the goodness of his spirit into your soul, and you had a revival when you got in the message of the hour? Did it not happen to you? That's what happened to me. We weren't thirsty anymore. There was too much food for us to eat when you get in the message. We don't even know sometimes where to start. We're not in a famine. The world's in a famine. Laodicea's in a famine, but we're in the bright age. There's plenty of food in the bright age. It says, verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good in thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So as part of this covenant of grace that we're under as a peculiar people, he gives us the power to prosper. Amen. He gives us the power to overcome our enemies. Amen. He gives us the power to overcome sickness. Amen. But the problem is we get so used to it after a while that if you're not careful, our hearts get lifted up and you think, this is my own strength. And you forget the Lord and you start breaking his precepts and you expect the same blessings to come upon you. It doesn't work. Yes. These are covenant blessings, amen, which are based on our attitude towards the covenant, our faithfulness to this grace covenant that we're under. That says, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Amen. He's saying it to Israel, his covenant people. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I just wanted to say thank you, saints. I just wanted to give a short testimony. Quite a powerful experience last Sunday night. I'd said it to the saints before about the sister from Scotland whose sister lives in Banbridge. I won't say any names. But she's not a believer and she had asked for prayer. She had phoned and asked if we could come and pray for her house because she had a real demon manifestation inside of her house. She had a real, in the world they call it a poltergeist, where things are just thrown around and strange things taking place. You know, and that house, it was really a haunted house. You know, so she had asked us to go and pray. We wanted to go on Wednesday, but we had to come down here. Then we tried to arrange to go on Friday. Then we had come for the minister, for the officers' meeting. We wanted to go last week on Saturday, but then she couldn't make it that day. So it delayed. And we went Sunday. I went with Brother Tom. I said, brother, let's go. We went after his church service on Sunday evening to this lady's house. And I thought it was really good the way it worked because she had had the Catholic priest come. She had had spiritualists come. You know, when there's spiritual things, people get desperate. And I could really understand it because there were so many strange things happening in her house. Things were just appearing and disappearing. She showed me when we got there a key on her mantelpiece, which wasn't from her house. How this demon manifestation started. It started in the house of her friend. And somehow those demon powers got onto the child of her friend. And when that child came and stayed over in their house, this lady's house we went to, that same manifestation started to come, especially upon one of her children who's autistic. It's like this child would get possessed. And she said it to me. She said, it seems like this thing accompanies children. It's a strange thing. And she showed me that this key, and she said, this key just appeared in our house. And she said, and my friend came, the one who this thing was first happening in our house, and said, that's my key. How did you get my key? And that key had somehow come from the other lady's house into her house. And there were so many strange things taking place. During the night, she had recorded the sounds that were taking place of things moving and voices. Voices calling out people's names and different things taking place in this house. And a strange smell, like a burning smell, would fill the house during the night. And the children were waking up and they were seeing a man in the room. There was this like apparition of a man, and they were so hysterical, the children, they couldn't sleep because they were saying, we don't want that man, we don't want that man. And just before we got there, she had some friends there, and she was telling us, she said, it was just so amazing. She says, we're just sitting here, and she showed me, and just she had put a can of Coke just on the shelf, and she said the can of Coke just went straight along and flew across and fell. And then the light bulb burst, and the glass just went everywhere. And so we said, look, I brought the Bible. We want to just read the Bible, tell you a little about Christ, and we'll just pray in your house. So when we got there, I was wondering to see, but what is this thing going to do when we get to this place? Saints, as soon as we got there, it was peaceful. It was peaceful. I said, this is really strange. I read the Bible to her. She said, it's really difficult reading the Bible. She says, whenever somebody reads the Bible, she says, you will think there's an earthquake in the house. You think things just move. There's just sounds of it. We got the Bible. We read it. It was just perfectly calm. The Lord was so present. It was so sweet. So I started to tell her about Christ. We said, look, we're not Catholics. We're not those kinds of people. We're not here to do some strange ceremonies. We're just going to pray because the Bible says, in my name they shall cast out evil spirits. I said, that's all we're going to do. So we spoke to her. She was open. She was receptive to the gospel. We just went around to each room. Me and Brother Tom, we just prayed in each room. And I was waiting to say, but where's this thing? Why is this thing not showing its face? So I thought, maybe once we go, this thing's going to cause a rumpus and a fuss. So we prayed. It was a good time. Left there. I said, let me leave it for a few days. I said to Gitana, if you meet her at school, ask her how it's going. Because she takes the children to school. So she didn't come. And then another day, different things happened. So finally on Thursday, Brother George had phoned me. And he had said, how is it going with that woman there? I said, bro, I almost forgot. Let me ask this woman. So I asked her. I said, Emma, how's it going in your house? She says, ever since then, it's been perfectly peaceful. Amen. She says, there hasn't been a single sound in my house. And everybody's sleeping so well. So we really did thank the Lord for that. So like I said to Brother Vergas, I said, Brother Bram always used to say that. He says, the demons don't fear me, they fear the angel. And that's what it is, friends. When you really go with the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him. You don't have to fear anything in this life. No matter what it is, it's just the devil. He may manifest in different forms. He may try to make a fuss. He might try to make you scared. She found that thing coming upon her continually and holding her mouth. You know those kind of things? I've had that before. I'm sure you have as well. It's just demon powers. But it was so simple. And I think she was expecting us to come like in the days of Naaman, you know, to come out and call upon the name of the Lord and stuff. But it was just so simple, just to come and pray. And say, Lord, we rebuke whatever this evil power is. It has no grounds here. We apply the power of the blood, and especially over the children. And I really was so grateful that God works in such a simplicity. And he had allowed her to bring all these other people before, with all of their beads and their robes and their ceremonies and all of the incense which they would wave and these spiritualists that were saying, all of these kind of things. And I think the Lord likes it like that sometime. Just to show his simplicity. That he is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And you can pray. Anybody can pray. It's just the power of the devil. And I've seen it many, many times. You just resist that devil, he will flee from you every time. Just put everything under the blood. Just walk under the blood and you will find out he's with you, even in you to the end of the age. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And it's so true. It's so simple. And I really appreciated that and said to say it to the saints. So we've read Deuteronomy chapter 8. We've read Luke chapter 21. Now, we want to speak about something which is coming up once again. Maybe just to try to catch up on some current events and bring certain things together, because I really do believe we're moving into a cycle here once again where I don't know. I've really been studying on this quite a bit, really trying to understand what these kind of things mean. And sometimes you really get a topic which brings a lot of things together. And there'll be a lot of things which you could speak of, and you really have to seek the grace of God to ask the Lord to allow you to bring things in a certain way so that it's simple enough for people to understand, but that if there can be the spiritual impact that there should be behind it. Because the whole purpose that we do anything, I'm sure you the same, we don't want to come here and just say things for the sake of saying them. But sometimes you come across things like when we did that one on the mystery of 9/11, September the 11th, you come across certain things and it's, you filter it through the message, and when it comes out the other side, you say, this is truth. This is a true principle here. You know, it's like signs and things which the Lord shows. Now, you find when Jesus came in Luke chapter 21, they asked him, what is going to be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end? Now, he was the super sign. We know that the prophet preached a super sign. The ministry of the Son of Man, that sign of the Messiah was the super sign of the end of the age. And it's always going to be. But God is gracious even beyond when Jesus came as the Son of Man and showed forth the ministry of the Son of Man, which should have been sufficient for anybody to realize that God was doing something special in that age, that there was something going on at that time. Jesus came as the super sign, and then he came with a message, preached it to the people, the prophetic message of Luke 21, Matthew 24, and so forth, warning them of things that would come. So he came on the scene. There was this great spiritual manifestation of the Son of Man. He left them now with his word. He left them this message and he told them, watch out, there's going to be things taking place. Now stay in a spiritual place, stay in a spiritual channel, that when things manifest in the natural, that you're not walking in the natural. Because, you know, many of these things, they manifest themselves in the natural. And only if you are in tune with the spiritual will you start to discern and see what those things mean. Most people would have turned right through the Life magazine, May 17th, 1963, and skipped past the picture of the cloud. But when the prophet got to that page, something spoke to him. In fact, there was a believer who got it first and saw that, didn't know what it meant, and gave it to Brother Branham and says, have you seen this? And Brother Branham looked and said, that's strange, that cloud. You know, it was familiar, there was something about it. So these things take place in the natural, but there's a spiritual meaning many times behind it. Now, we're not prophets or sons of prophets, but we've got the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Because we've got the spirit of Elijah. God has sent Elijah. He's turned our hearts back again. We're walking under the spirit of Elijah. We're walking in the channel of the Son of Man. So all the events that take place, nothing happens without there being a meaning and a purpose. You know, the prophet speaks of the Pope going to Rome. Pope Paul the Sixth. He says, look, his name's Paul the Sixth. Six is a number of man. And he says he went to Jerusalem and he walked 13 steps. You see? And he would find a significance in all those kind of things. You and I would have not even paid attention probably. Many people would have been looking for the football scores in the newspaper. But the prophet would be seeing those kind of things and picking it up straight away. And I think it's good when we move through certain events and certain things start taking place. For us maybe to filter things through the message and try to find a spiritual significance to things. Amen. Because beyond Jesus giving the message, if you go and read the last days of the Jews, Brother George Martin once sent it to Brother George and I, the different signs that took place in Jerusalem before the destruction of the temple, right up to AD 70 when the Romans came, there were many strange signs in the skies. Amen. There came a star in the heavens that looked like a sword. There was a lot of different things. The great big doors of the temple, which needed many men to open and shut, made out of iron, that opened suddenly themselves one night. And those even in the temple that had some sort of discernment said, this means our defense has been taken from us. Now the doors have opened on their own. And there were a lot of strange things that took place leading up now to that. So I think God is gracious. Amen. I think even if God sends us the message, God knows some people that need a little bit more than that sometimes to stir them up, to realize that be careful of the lateness of the hour. Amen. Because he'll bring circumstances, he'll bring events to take place. And to anybody who's half spiritual, you'll start feeling inside of yourself there's a voice behind the sign. This isn't just an event taking place, but there's some kind of a voice behind this. There's something deeper than just the natural. Now, The prophet speaking of America and Israel. We want to just speak about America again once again today. We want to speak about the last days of America and the signs of the end for America. We want to speak about the world economy once again. So we want to take this Sabbath year judgment. Now we've passed by it once before, but I really wanted to get a little bit more in depth in it today. And if you'd really stay with me right to the end, I really do believe you will see something. Amen. You know, like I said, we don't set dates and times. It's not for us to do that. But Jesus says, when you see these things beginning to come to pass, then look up. Now, he wants there to be a reaction when you start seeing certain things, because God is behind the events that many times we wouldn't even think God is behind these events. Now, God is really in control. So we want to compare this with Israel and America once again. And the prophet says in Revelation chapter 4, part 3, he says, America is the prostitute of the nations. That's what she's become. That's exactly what she is. And she's going to be worse than ever now. That was in 1961. And all these critics who say, Branham never said anything before. You know, you say he prophesied things only when they'd already happened. I don't understand which message those kind of people read. You know, these critics. Because to me, when I read the message, I can't but help when you get into these things saying exactly what was said coming to pass. Amen. The prophet, just in his preaching, would be prophesying. Because he was a prophet. He could see spiritual principles. He could see the spirit behind things. That when we would just see the outward, we would see in 1960s America still prospering as a nation. Getting into one of their times, maybe financially, of great prosperity, you would think. Right up to 1980, whatever it was. That the prophet would see behind it. He'd see, America's in its end time now. He says, it's gone. It's finished. He says, she's going to be worse than ever now. Now look at the morals, look at the government they've got there, look at the president they've got and so forth. Look at the laws they're passing. He says she's coming to her end. The Bible speaks of her doom, tells how she's going to be. She's been a great nation. She's carried the gospel message. What makes her the way that she is? Because she's turned down the gospel message and rejected the truth. She's got it coming. Don't worry. I saw it in the vision as thus saith the Lord. 1933. It's coming. She's going to pay for her sins. So the prophet knew it right back there. He says, back when America was America, she was a great nation. The greatest the world ever known since Israel was America. Now the prophet, Israel was never the greatest economically or the greatest in political power. There were empires far greater than Israel. But there was never a nation that God exalted above Israel. Amen. And among the Gentiles, there's never been a nation that God exalted like America. There was never a superpower like America. There was never a nation in all history that had the power that America's just lost. America had power. It was the only superpower. Now if you really go and study the Roman Empire and different empires, the American Empire was a mighty empire. And what was the basis of the empire? Was they were the covenant people of God. That's what they were. Israel, the basis of their power, God gave them the land. And God established a covenant with their fathers, with their founders. And that was the source of Israel's prosperity and blessing. When Israel would conquer nations greater than themselves, when Israel would prosper spiritually and financially, it was all the blessings of the covenant. And the prophet always brings it back, and he brings it back to the founding fathers of America, the Pilgrim Fathers, because they were Christians. They were Christians, and the whole basis of that land was a basis that they entered into a covenant with God. The founding fathers of America says, we want to be a light unto the nations. We want to govern this nation according to the principles of your word. And God blessed them, and God made them great as long as they stayed on that foundation. Then the prophet says in Jezebel religion, it's a striking thing to see the parallel between Israel of the Old Testament and America now. Both of them were great nations. Both had been founded, the people had come there because of religious persecution. So it says if you go down into Egypt, Israel couldn't worship God. They couldn't build the altars. They couldn't keep the feasts. They couldn't worship God. They were in a religious bondage in Egypt. But God set them free. And God took them into their own land and they established a temple and they could worship God with freedom of religion, Israel. And the prophet says exactly like America. He says the founding fathers couldn't worship in Europe because it was under Roman Catholicism, was under the Vatican, under Jezebel religion. That's the message he's preaching. So the people couldn't worship according to the dictates of their heart. So God led them to another land. And God opened a place to them that they could worship God in a way that was acceptable to Him. The prophet says, God had made them a promise in the Bible, Israel, in His word, by His prophets, that He had given them a land. And God had a purpose in doing that. So when God gave Israel their land, He had a purpose in doing it. And friends, when God gives you and I an inheritance, a land for us to dwell spiritually, there's a purpose that He does it for. He doesn't just give us that land so that we can rise up, Deuteronomy 8, in our own hearts and say, it's my own strength, my own power, my own goodness that has got me these things. But there's a responsibility. There's a sacred privilege and responsibility of being in covenant with the covenant God. Because He's going to give you the blessings of the covenant. He's going to give you an inheritance. He's going to establish you. He's going to fight your enemies. But there's a purpose that He does it for. So that you may worship the Lord your God. That you may be a city upon a hill. That you don't take the glory to yourself. But that you point people to the source of your blessing. And that you remember the Lord. That it is He that has given you power to get wealth. It's He that has given you power to overcome your enemies. It's not in your own strength. It's not in your own ability. And the prophet says, they parallel one to another perfectly. Israel came up and took a homeland in Palestine. Drove back all the occupants of the land, possessed the land. We came in and took it from the Indians. Drove them back and possessed the land. God had a reason for that. He says it again. God was going to show the world what He would do with a little band of people that wanted freedom of religion to serve God. God so respected that spiritual principle that they were based upon. That motive that they had in the days of the youth, America, the Pilgrim Fathers, the Founding Fathers. That the principle that they wanted, they didn't want a land just so they could plow it and make money. They didn't want just a land that they could make a kingdom and the kingdom would be great. But they wanted a land in which they could show and manifest what a people can be under the covenant of God. How God would bless a people that would remain faithful to Him. The prophet says, what did they do for Israel? He made Israel the most mightiest nation in the world. And she stayed that way until she got out of the will of God. And friends, it's the same as you and I. Do not think the blessings of this covenant are based on your goodness. Amen. On your own personality, on your own strength. Amen. The blessings of this covenant that we are under are based upon us staying in His will. Amen. That's what it is. The moment you and I get out of the will of God, we are now exactly like Israel did and America's done. Amen. We forfeit the right to our blessings. Amen. God is gracious and He's going to warn us and warn us and warn us. But there's going to come a time when He's going to say enough is enough. Yes. And Israel, their protection, when they had great enemies round and about them, especially in the days of David and the early time of Solomon, the kingdom age, they could have been overrun by the enemies. But what was their power? God put His fear upon the nations that were round and about them. And the nations around and about them respected Israel. Not that they were great in number. Not that they're the greatest armies in the world, but they worship the God, the Lord God of hosts. The Lord God of the armies of heaven. That's who they worshipped. And God would anoint them in battle and God would give them victories. And He had said to them in the covenant promises that He made with them when He established them as a nation, Israel, He said, one will put 1,000 to flight. He says, as long as you walk in the covenant, but if you fail in my covenant, one will put 1,000 of yours to flight. You will get to the stage you cannot overcome your enemies. And that's a sign, my friend, you're out of the will of God. When you cannot overcome your enemies, when your enemies are overcoming you, despite all the effort that you put in, you're out of the will of God. Because the covenant promise of God is, your enemies will not stand before you. As long as you walk in His will, As long as you're called according to His purpose, the battle is the Lord's. He will fight for Israel. And He's done it so many times. And as long as they stayed in the will of God, the blessing of God remained upon them. And they had a power beyond their size. They had blessings beyond their size. Resources beyond what you'd expect a nation to have. Because if you go to Israel, friends, it's not a land with the richest of soil. There's a lot of desert in Israel. There's a lot of barren land. But you go and see the covenant people turning it into something that the desert blossoms like a rose. Because they had the Son of Prosperity with them. They had their Joseph with them through the Old Testament. And He would prosper the works of their hands. So the prophet says, what did He do with America? He made her the mightiest nation in the world until she's getting out of the will of God. And friends, you and I can say it 50 years later, she's well out of the will of God. She's not only getting out of the will of God, she's way out of the will of God. But the prophet could see it. He says, parallel one to another exactly. All the world feared them. And they enjoyed the privilege, Israel, of no wars. You know, America never lost a war until Vietnam. Do you know that? Amen. They never lost a war in all of their history until just after the prophet said this. Until about 1972, 73 was when that war finished. And it was the first war that America fought that they didn't win. And that's a sign, friends. When God calls a people to a covenant and they lose a battle, you need to do like in the book of Joshua. You need to call a halt and you need to call a fast and you say, this isn't the way that it's supposed to be. How come my enemies are prevailing continually over me? Because, friends, there's a voice behind the judgment. You know, when there's a judgment that God allows, maybe a temporal judgment like the prophet says, because of your disobedience in the days of Solomon, when Solomon refused to hearken to the Lord, the Bible says the Lord stirred up enemies around. Whereas before he was a man of peace. When he walked in the covenant and the will of God, God gave Israel peace. And Solomon was a man of peace. And God had a purpose for giving him peace so that he could build the temple. Amen. So that God could come and dwell in the midst of his people. But the moment Solomon started to marry strange wives and allow them to set up their idols and their temples in Jerusalem, God sent him warning and warning, and then God raised up enemies against him. Amen. And friends, if we look, maybe getting ahead of myself, but look at the enemies against America now. Every year it's increasing in severity. We thought Al-Qaeda was bad when they attacked America. What about ISIS? Amen. Islamic State. Who has ever seen a demonic force like this? Who has ever seen something rise up like this in a civilized world? That there can come something that will terrorize the nations. There rises up a people and they behead people in public and stick their heads on poles in the city centers and taking us back to barbarism and things gone by. These are signs of the time, friends. Amen. These are enemies that the Lord is allowing to rise up in this generation. And where are we seeing diseases like Ebola? It was always there in a limited nation. Now it's bursting forth and they're struggling to contain these diseases. And the prophet had told us before the coming of the Lord, there's going to come diseases that people will rot in their flesh while they yet live. Amen. And so forth. Amen. Friends, these aren't just natural things. You can take them all as natural, but you start getting close to the Lord a little bit and you're going to start seeing, get yourself on the message of the hour. These mean something. Amen. There's always a voice behind the sign. And God in His mercy, when He sends these temporal judgments that the prophet speaks of, there's a voice behind the judgment. It's a call. If you don't hear the call of it, the preaching of the word, God has other ways of having to deal with you to try to get your attention. He may have to afflict you in your health. He may have to afflict you in your wealth. He may have to put you in bondage to your enemies for a season until you know, like Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High does rule in the affairs of men. And that the glory should be going to Him, not to yourself. Amen. And that our blessings are based on us walking in the will of God. And friends, God sent America a prophet. And you'll understand why Elijah had to come in America. Because there had to be the exact parallel. Israel had gone out of the will of God. They elected an Ahab. And Ahab went and married Jezebel. The daughter of Ethbaal, whatever, the priest of the Zidonians. And brought that Babylonian worship right into Israel. And what did God do to respond? He sent Elijah. Because always in the days of Ahab and Jezebel, you're going to have Elijah. And that was the last days of Israel. What about America? America, they flee for freedom of religion. They come and establish their nation based on the principles of God's word. The reformation they were coming from. And what does America end up doing? 1960. They elect Kennedy, a Catholic, and they put a Catholic as their president. And the prophet says, can people not see? Are they so blind? Is this the very thing that we fled from? To establish freedom of religion. He's married into the same thing once again. He says America's married its way in. And he says we've got an Ahab sitting on the throne. Kennedy, a Catholic, the first Catholic president. And he says it's not him. Maybe he's a nice guy, he says. But it's the system behind him. It's the Jezebel behind him that's going to rule. So when you find Ahab and Jezebel coming, you're going to have Elijah again. And God raises Elijah at the same time. Because it's a perfect parallel. It has to be like that. Because God is the same and He doesn't change. So the prophet says, they had no wars, no troubles, living under the power of God. Imagine in the days of David, in the days of Solomon when all was well. It was such a glorious time. The prophet said it was a type of the millennium. It was a glorious age. It was the golden age. He said, types the millennium. That's what they had. And imagine America in its day when it respected God and it, you know, it put forth the gospel and so forth. But what is America known for now? Instead of propagating the gospel, it's propagating pornography, filth, immorality, policies that are polluting the world, changing the natural form of a man and so forth, where it was men and women before, and we know what's going on now. Amen. Friends, we're living in a real late hour. Because that was a people that God raised up, a Gentile nation, the prophet tells us, that God raised up for a purpose. Amen. And now we start seeing the real judgment hand of God starting to manifest itself against America and against all these nations that subscribe to the same ungodliness. Friends, it's later than we think. But the thing is, we're born into the system and we just grow up and these things just take place. Until you start going back and see what a prophet says about it. And you start really understanding now the spiritual significance of many of these things that are taking place. Friends, it's not natural what we see taking place. And when we see the economies of the world where they are now, friends, it's not just natural. This is the judgment of God. And there's another judgment pending. And that's what I just want to speak about as we get into it. So the prophet speaks about the hedge of protection that was upon Israel. And then he speaks of the hedge of protection that was upon America. And he speaks of the founding fathers. And he says, George Washington, he went to Valley Forge fighting the Battle of Independence, whatever it was. And he says, only about 40% of the men in the midst of winter had shoes on their feet. It's a powerful story if you go and read it. And how they had to wrap rags around their feet and so forth. And George Washington went out to pray. And there's a famous picture of it. And he prayed all night until the snow melted around him. And he was wet from the melting snow because he wanted to seek the face of God. And then he went out to battle the next day. And he came back and there were the four musket holes of musket bullets through his coat. And I read it myself in the life story of Stonewall Jackson. When he was speaking about that battle, when Washington, when the whoever it was that America was fighting against the English, whatever. But they had American Indians that enlisted into their ranks. And they were real, real good at getting right close to the Americans. And they said, when Washington and them come through this valley, they commissioned these Indians and says, don't shoot at anybody else, just shoot at Washington. And they had the testimony of the American Indians themselves saying, we tried. They said, we shot and we shot and we shot at that man, but our bullets wouldn't hit the man. So in the end, we stopped shooting at the man because we realized the hand of the gods was upon him. That was the hedge of protection, friends. And it's the same with you and the same with me. Maybe Brother Titch should have died on Friday night, whatever it was. But you'll find that hedge of protection is upon the sons and daughters of God, friends. He watches over His children. As long as you're His son, you're His daughter, you're being faithful in the covenant, you're walking in the will of God, God will take care of your battles. God will fight your battles for you. God will take care of your prosperity and your welfare. And if He's not, it's good to go and ask Him why not. Because there's always a reason. Nothing happens without there being a purpose. Nothing happens without there being a reason. There's always a reason behind it. And the prophet says the next day, I believe it was, 4 or 5 bullet holes, musket bullets went through his coat and his hat and never touched him. That was George Washington. That's powerful, friends. But that same Jesus is alive today. And he's still doing the same things to you and I today. He's watching over his children today because we're the children of the covenant, just as much as God raised America up as a covenant people to himself so that he could shine forth the gospel through the missionary age and down into Laodicea the way that he did. Now, things are changing in America. We know that. I'm going to show this just to show what's coming up this week. So we've looked at these blood moons before. We've already had the first blood moon. And we saw after the 15th of April this year, we saw Israel getting itself into trouble with Gaza. And not only Israel winning that battle and having a struggle, but the world rising up against Israel. And even up to today, the world is still not happy with Israel for what it did to Gaza. And we know that when we looked at it, those rabbis said the blood moon speaks of portents of evil towards Israel. Because Israel counts their feasts from the moon. But they say that the heathen, us, we count our feasts from the sun. Christmas and all these kind of pagan feasts are based on the position of the sun. So the sun, they say, represents us. Now, this week, starting on Wednesday, we get to the end of the 6th year and we start moving into the next Sabbath year. If you remember, we did it before. I'm going to get into it again today to really demonstrate it. But the first Sabbath year, which really affected us, was 2000 and 2001, which culminated in 9/11 and the collapse of the stock market. Amen. And took the world into recession. Then exactly 7 years later, 2007, 2008, Brother Jose knows it well, he used to work with me, and then the recession came, the Great Recession, and they bumped Brother Jose out of the company at that time. But there was exactly 7 years later, we'll see it, exactly the same time, the same next Sabbath year when it came, there came the Great Recession. And now, this week, Wednesday evening, sunset, is the first of the new year for Israel. Tishri 1, it's the beginning of the new year. And we're moving into the next Sabbath year. And I was speaking today on the Sabbath year judgment. I really just want to show that to make it clear once again. So, and next month, 9 October, as the new year starts, there comes the next blood moon, which is strange portents in the skies. These things mean something. And then finally, we know Passover next year, Tabernacles next year. We get to those final blood moons, but in the midst here, we've moved into the Sabbath year. And I want to speak just on the significance of that today. And if the Lord would really help me, just to really show that everything happens for a purpose. Amen. And that God is behind everything. And friends, I'm expecting something to take place. What it's going to do, I can have my own thoughts. We're not putting dates, we're not putting times. But if the Lord will just help me just to build it up, I'm sure you will see the signs are all around. The signs are there. Let's look at Leviticus 25. Let's build it up and see it from the Bible. What is this Sabbath year? Leviticus 25, from 1 up to 4, we'll read. This is when the Lord called Moses up into Mount Sinai. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, so it had something to do with them being in their land, yeah? Then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. So the 7th year, when it started on the 1st of the year, which is this week in Israel, it's actually that starts on the Feast of Trumpets, which is this week on Thursday. On the 1st of the year, there came an entire year that Israel, as a covenant people of God in their covenant land, were not allowed to sow their land. Amen. They weren't allowed to sow the land, weren't allowed to reap from their vineyards. The fields had to lay idle. You'll see, look in verse 20. The Lord gave them a real promise now. He says, and if you shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in the increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. So this was a supernatural something here.
Amen.
He said it was something that was going to manifest in the natural. They were going to have an entire year of not sowing, harvesting, not planting, not reaping. And the Lord says, as long as you're in my covenant, I'll take care of you.
Amen.
This will be a sign between you and me. And why did God do this? God was trying to show them, I'm in control of everything.
Amen.
I'm in control. This is my land, you're my people. I'm responsible for you. I've made a covenant with you, so I'm going to put you to the test. Every seventh year, you're not allowed to sow anything. You're not allowed to plant. You're not allowed to harvest. Now, this wasn't going to be easy for natural people. Because you had to enter this by faith.
Amen.
You had to have a spiritual reality.
Amen.
To really, really say, okay, no harvesting, no planting for a year. I'm only going to get a harvest, not this year, the Sabbath year, but in harvest time the year afterwards. That's when I'm going to get my first harvest. I'm going to go almost 2 years here without getting anything from my field. You see, the Lord didn't just put it there to say he wanted the land to rest. This was a sign between him and the people. There was a spiritual principle behind this to test their faithfulness and to show his faithfulness if they would be faithful. It was a spiritual occurrence, the Sabbath year. They called it the Shemitah. The Sabbath year was a real, real serious thing if you think about it, spiritually speaking. Now the prophet even speaking on tithes and our faithfulness to the Lord. He says, tithes paying is an act of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The moment somebody is not in contact with God, the first thing you see, they don't pay tithes anymore. Because like to a natural person, if you're not in touch with the spiritual world, you say, but why should I do that? Doesn't make any sense. Don't people know we're just coming out of the Great Recession?
Amen.
You see the way people would think as natural people. But if a person's walking with the Lord, the thing God wanted to teach Israel was, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
That this isn't your land, you're just tenants in my land. That's what he told them. He says, this is my land, but you are just tenants in my land.
Amen.
And I'm the landlord. And as long as you're faithful, I'm going to watch over you. But then the Lord had to warn them and say, but if you're not faithful to this Sabbath year, I, the landlord, I'm going to remove you from your land.
Amen.
That's what it came down to. That this very thing that God wanted to use as a blessing so he could make real his covenant, make real that he was the God of these people. Just like he does to you and I, he allows us to get into lack. He allows us to get into want in many ways. Why does he do that? Because he wants to reveal himself, who he is to us.
Amen.
He wants to manifest the virtue of his covenant. The power of the covenant. So he allows us to come into a divinely appointed season of need, or whatever it is. And then he ministers to our need. And then we say, but surely God, you're in control of all things. You get a promotion at work. You get a blessing at school. You get put first in your class, though you weren't the smartest of the children. I remember Brother Zalish, what he was telling me about his grandchildren when I was there in Czech Republic. And, you know, they're very strict there, the believers there. They don't even allow their children the internet. They're very strict how they do it. Yeah, and the school called them in, called his son in, Brother Bogdan, and said to him, this is not fair for your children. Your children are going to fall behind because you're not allowing them to be on the internet. You don't allow them to watch television. And he says, no, God will take care of that. And he would take his children. I mean, you know, you have to compensate. He would give his children all the encyclopedias they needed, to help them in whatever way that he could to compensate. And when it came time now for them to give the awards for the town of all the schools, his daughter won 3 awards.
Amen.
She was the only one who won 3 awards. Everybody else only won 1 in the other schools. She won 3. And I believe it was God teaching the same principle like the Sabbath year. To say these things are not dependent upon your power. They're not dependent upon your ability. You take care of my work, I'll take care of yours.
Amen.
You look after my affairs, you're faithful, you bring your children upright, I'll take care of the rest of it for you. You don't have to use the tactics of the heathen to prosper like the heathen.
Amen.
They could use the principles of God's word and be prospered above the heathen that were around and about them. Those heathen that wouldn't follow spiritual principles. And that's the God we serve, friends.
Amen.
And that's the principle. Seek first his kingdom.
Amen.
And his righteousness. You might worry about marriage and say, where am I going to get married? He will take care of that.
Amen.
He'll take care of it. God will never forget his sons and his daughters. He'll never. He says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. Amen. It shall come to pass. Amen. How can God forget his children? Amen. Hudson Taylor, when he went with the missionaries to inland China, and the people said, you're crazy. Come with all these missionaries and your children and that right into the middle of China. People will forget about you. He called his little child and he says, this is my daughter Grace. He says, she's my daughter. Can I ever forget that she needs breakfast? That she needs lunch and she needs supper. Said, if I as an earthly father can't forget the basic needs of my child, how about the heavenly father when we're about his business? How can he not think about us? He's Jehovah Jireh. But sometimes he puts us to the test, friends. Sometimes it lingers and sometimes it delays. And the devil comes to offer you all the substitutes. Comes to offer you all the alternatives to the perfect will of God. Stay in the perfect will of God. You will never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed. So, that's where they get to. God puts this upon them and says, this is going to be a test for you people. You're my covenant people. This is my land. I'm the landlord. You're my people. You're my servants. You keep this seventh year. He speaks again about it in the book of Exodus. Let's read Exodus 23 verse 10. Just to lay really the foundation to show the spiritual dimension behind this. It says, in 6 years shalt thou sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of your people may eat. And what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thine oliveyard. So the Lord's saying to them, you just leave those fields alone. Before you used to lock your gates of your vineyard, you used to lock the gates to your field. Now you have to leave them open for the year. Anybody can go in. Whatever grows of itself, it belongs to the poor of the land. Whatever would be naturally, they would go and people could take it and the beasts of the field could enter in. And friends, that was a real unique sign between God and his people. There was no other nation that could do this because no other nation had a God like unto the Lord. No other nation God had put into his own land. God calls Canaan his land. He says, this is my land. He says, and I'm giving you my land. And I'm going to bless you in my land. And as long as Israel was faithful, God was faithful as well. Now friends, there's such a link. And the problem with us, as we get into Laodicea, when we have prosperity and riches and scientific age that we're living in, there's a link, and God is showing it here, between the natural and the spiritual. He said that if you're faithful spiritually, God is responsible for you naturally. Amen. This is this link. If you're not faithful spiritually, God will judge you in the natural as well. Amen. He'll first send his prophets, he'll send his word. That's God's preferred method of dealing with his sons and his daughters. If you won't hear his voice, he's got to start dealing with you in the natural. Because God is very specific in the way that he judges people and nations. Amen. You find when God came down in Eden, remember Brother Beckett speaking about it, how God deals with women and men in a different way. God came down and said to Adam, I'm going to curse the ground for your sake. You're going to sweat and toil and labor now to bring forth your harvest. That was the best way the Lord could teach his son the lesson. God chose a specific type of a judgment, a temporal judgment, put it upon his son because there was a lesson of virtue in that judgment. But when he came to Eve, he said, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth, and your desire shall be to your husband. And she would bring forth now with labor pains. Now God, remember Rebecca says, God always speaks to a woman through her body. That's why Sister Mita, she had the tumor and all the different things. How God speaks to a woman to correct someone like that. So there's a reason behind these things. When God chooses a specific type of judgment, there's a voice behind the judgment. God is merciful in his judgment. He's trying to turn people around. He's trying to get people to realize the error of their ways. He's not just judging you or making things difficult for you. He's not doing that. He's not just trying to make your life miserable, but he's trying to stop you. He's trying to get you to consider. He's trying to bring you back into a spiritual channel so that he can turn your heart from the direction that you're going back into his perfect will. Amen. And if it's going to take natural chastisement, so be it. He's going to use natural chastisement. He did it upon Israel many times. When the enemies would come upon them and the different things that would take place. Right from the book of Judges. You find God, when He chooses a specific type of judgment, there's a wisdom, there's a revelation behind that choice. He knows what He's doing. Amen. And the natural and the spiritual, there's an inseparable link. You might say, I don't really see that. What about Sister Hattie Wright? She was faithful naturally. And she wanted to give naturally to the tabernacle, above even her means. And how did the blessing come back to her? Spiritually. The salvation of her two boys. There's a link. There was such a link between her being faithful here and a spiritual blessing here. And it can be the other way. You can be so faithful spiritually to the Lord, and the Lord will minister you a blessing naturally. Might bless you in marriage, bless you with children, bless you with promotion, bless you with whatever that He desires to do. But there's a link between these two things. And the problem is, America, like Israel in our age, has totally lost the reality of that. They've totally forgotten that there's a link between our natural blessings and our spiritual faithfulness. You see, and that's why we see what we see happening in the world today. Because God comes down as He's always done, and He starts judging in the natural because of the spiritual fornication, the spiritual unfaithfulness of the people that He took into Himself into a covenant with. Amen. And when you see God allowing someone to attack them right in their land, the covenant land, America. The first time America ever was attacked in mainland America successfully was September the 11th by an enemy. Imagine, right from 1776, when they were founded as a nation. Second World War, they attacked Hawaii, the Japanese. That was in the islands out there. But the first time that hedge of protection, that covenant protection that God had covered George Washington with and the early founding fathers, God took it away in a foreign field in Vietnam. God's taken away in Iraq, in Afghanistan. America can't stand against its enemies anymore. With the most powerful military in the world, the most sophisticated weapons that have ever been dreamt of, stealth bombers, stealth fighters, bunker-busting bombs, they couldn't even kill Bin Laden in the caves in Tora Bora there in Afghanistan. With all of their B-52 bombers, with all of their natural power, natural might, scientific ability. But instead of stopping and considering, say, but what does this mean? Why did this not happen to our forefathers? Why did God bless our forefathers and they overcame Nazi Germany? Bless our forefathers, they overcame Germany in the First World War and so forth. Why is it that our countries always succeeded? But now it's like we're open to our enemies. Friends, they can't even beat a ragtag army of ISIS. They'll never beat them. They can bomb them, but they won't beat them. Heathen idol worshippers like that. And this great military with its body armor, its whole infrastructure of intelligence and communication, satellites in the sky. And they can't beat the enemies. They can't even get a victory. They never got a victory in Iraq. It's worse now than when America went. And they spent $1 trillion, thousands of people's lives, and what did it achieve? Nothing. What did they achieve in Afghanistan? It's back to where it was. They achieved absolutely nothing there. And friends, it's the same as you and I. We need to learn the lesson like Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat decided he wanted to join up with Ahab and make ships and go and get the gold, whatever it was, and the Lord destroyed his ships. And he stopped and he considered. He said, let me not make some more ships. Because God wasn't behind this venture that I'm getting myself involved in. And friends, we need to hear the voice of the sign. We need to really humble ourselves under the hand of God and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? What is the lesson behind this? Because God is not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance, that all should come to life. Amen. That's the principle behind whatever He does. Until in the end, when it comes to Armageddon and grace is passed and the lines crossed, then He's pouring out His wrath without mercy. And then He's going to judge the nations of the earth in the fierceness of His indignation. And friends, that's the burning of Sodom. We know what's coming there. But even now, in the midst of judgment, He wants people to remember who He is and His grace and call upon His name and seek His face. Now, if you look at Deuteronomy 15, the very last day of the Sabbath year, if you remember when He did it just briefly before, Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. It says at the end of every 7 years, so at the very end of the Sabbath year, yeah, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lends aught to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. So on the very last day of the Sabbath year, which was Elul 29, which is this week, Tuesday evening up to Wednesday. Although this is the 6th, it's not a Sabbath year. But next year, on that day, Elul 29, the 13th of September, whatever it is next year in our Gentile calendar, the observant Jews, if anybody owes them anything, they tear up the bond, they tear up the IOU, they tear up the paper, you don't have anybody owe you anymore. And if you owe anybody at that time, the debt's forgiven. You don't have to pay them. Now, a lot of believers still operate under that principle, you see. You lend them money and they wait about 7 years hoping that the year of release will come and that you'll forget that you lent them money. But, but that was a spiritual principle. But again, can you see, this wasn't easy for the carnal man. The man who loved his money, the Laodicean man who loved his riches and his wealth above his obedience to the covenant will of God. It wasn't going to be easy for him to say, hey, may I forgive you your debt? The man is going to make a plan. And it wasn't easy for Israel. And through the ages, they've made a lot of plans trying to get themselves out of these laws and requirements that God made. But the genuine Jew still is observant of these things because God calls him to do it. So what would this Sabbath year do? You think of it. The moment the Sabbath year would begin, there's no more labor in the fields. No more labor. All labor would cease in the fields because you weren't allowed to plow, you weren't allowed to sow, you weren't allowed to harvest. There's no more reaping of the fields. There's no more people going to the banks to borrow money to buy seed for their next crop. You see, it's going to affect everything in the land, and the people realize the consequences of the Sabbath year. If you were faithful to it, God would more than compensate you for what you're about to lose. But it would affect all the finances in Israel. All your debts, all of your riches that you thought you were building up were blotted out. Nobody owed you anything anymore at the end of the 7th year. That was the consequences of it. You know, and there was major consequences. You know, it was really a big, big happening. The moment that trumpet sounded there and said, now is the year of the Lord's release, things changed straight away. And maybe it didn't change immediately. You didn't see it straight away, but within a week you'd find there's no people in the fields. After a month you'd find, but hey, people aren't sowing anymore. You'd see weeds starting to grow. You'd find people that used to be agricultural workers, they're unemployed now. And the Lord wanted like it because He wanted to spend time with His people. Amen. And He said, you need a time of rest as well to come and seek Me. You know, to spend time in My word and so forth. So there was a blessing on it. But in the natural, it could be a very difficult thing for people. Amen. Very, very difficult. Now, I showed it once before that Israel, they were faithful at first to the Sabbath years. But then there came a certain time when Israel, they got out of spiritual harmony with Jehovah. They got themselves out of that realm and that channel where people really walk with God. And they started to think, we don't need to keep the Sabbath year. It's too much of a problem. It costs us too much. We can be like a nations round and about us. Let's rather work. Let's forget about this. And the first time, maybe their hearts were beating and they thought, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen to us. But maybe nothing serious happened. And the second time, 7 years later, they decided, we're not going to do it again. And they did it again a second time. And they did it a third time. And finally, they got up to 70 times that they didn't keep their Sabbath years. And God was counting every single one of them. Amen. And God saw it and He said, enough is enough. Amen. Enough is enough. Amen. And now the Sabbath year, which God wanted to use as a covenant sign of blessing, of provision between Him and His people, became a judgment sign. It became the judgment of the Sabbath year. And that's why now God, before He did this, He sent them Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah came now to tell them the mind of God concerning what they were doing. To tell them that God has seen what you're doing. Don't think at what you're doing in secret. Jehovah doesn't see what you're doing. Amen. Don't think at what you're doing. There's no repercussions for what you do. Be not deceived. God is not what mocked. Amen. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Amen. That's in the New Testament.
Amen.
That's a principle, friends.
Amen.
Don't be deceived, friends. God sees everything.
Amen.
And God is gracious. He'll warn and he'll warn and he'll warn. And if you won't yield yourself to the word, if you won't willingly come in repentance and come back in obedience with the word, God has to keep ratcheting up the judgment. You bring maybe something small and then something bigger and then something bigger until the voice becomes so clear that this is me behind these things. Amen. These aren't just natural events taking place, but I, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the possessor of all these things, I'm holding you accountable for what you're doing with my things.
Amen.
And Jehovah, now he started to do that by sending Jeremiah. Look in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 4. But look what he did first. God is so gracious, friends. Jeremiah 25, verse 4. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. Ah, friends, it's great grace in your life when the word comes that you can incline your ear to hear. Jesus said the majority of people who hear the word, sown by the wayside, sown and the birds eat it up, sown among the thorns, it never brings forth any fruit.
Right.
Most people, when they hear the word, they don't incline the ear. They don't go from hearing the word and say, let me call a halt a little bit here. Let me consider my ways.
Amen.
Like in the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, chapter 1, chapter 2, such a perfect example showing spiritual principles and God manifesting them in the natural.
Amen.
Because God delivered his people under the edict of Cyrus.
Amen.
And the people came back from their captivity and God brought them back into the land. And God said, go. Cyrus says, the Lord God of heaven has raised me up to tell you, his people, go back and build his house. He's the God that's in Jerusalem. And Israel went back and they started well. They came out of that captivity, which they'd been in those 70 years, which is the same captivity we're reading of now. And they went back to their land. And they built the foundation of the house of the Lord. They raised up the brazen altar. Started building their homes and they forgot about the house of the Lord. They totally forgot about the house of the Lord. And then problems came and different things, and they had various reasons. Yes, there were certain circumstances that stopped them for a season. But then years went by, I think about 30 years. And there was the people in the promised land. God had brought them there for a purpose, so that he would be glorified in his house, that he would be glorified in his people. He hadn't separated them from the nation for nothing, just to live like the rest of the people, just to focus on their own lives and their own things. He had entered a covenant with the people and now taken them from a Babylonian captivity for a divine purpose.
Amen.
To establish his house once again so that God could be revealed and known among the nations. And that people moved out of that channel and they got themselves busy so much like we in this age with the natural affairs of life, the cares of this life, until they totally forgot the purpose that God had called them to.
Amen.
But God was gracious.
Amen.
Firstly, he wants to teach him a lesson. So now they start sowing their crops and they sow their wheat. And the man goes and gets 5 bags of wheat and says, I'm going to sow my wheat, I'm going to get 10. And he gets his harvest and he gets 3. And he said, this doesn't work according to natural laws. I've sowed 5 bags and got 3. A man goes to his olive press, his olive vat there, and he puts the stick in, takes out some olive oil. I've still got 50 hins or whatever it was in those as oil. Goes back next week to take some more. There's 30. It was strange. The Lord says, you're earning wages to put them in bags with holes in them. But then the Lord says something important. He said, consider your ways. He was trying to get the people to consider. The purpose of that judgment, the purpose of the chastisement was, consider your ways. And the very place he was judging them was the very place they should have started considering.
Amen.
Was in their prosperity, their wealth, their livelihood. They should have said, but why is God judging us like this? Why didn't he bring a nation upon us? Why didn't he bring a plague or a pestilence? Why is he cursing our blessings? Because, friends, the blessings of the covenant depend on you being faithful in the covenant land.
Amen.
You be faithful to the covenant, you inherit all the blessings of the covenant land. But the moment you stop being faithful to your part of what's required of you in the covenant land, God says, he warns you, then he starts stretching forth his hand.
Amen.
And the people, they listened. And then God sent them Zechariah, the prophet, if you go and read. And Zechariah went and exhorted the people and encouraged them. And the people said, yes. And Zechariah said to them, go up to the mountains, cut down the timbers, come and build the Lord's house. Is this time for you to dwell in your sealed houses, your ornate houses? And the house of God lays waste. Consider your ways. And the people, God sent them a prophetic channel which turned their hearts. And then they saw it the way God saw it. And they submitted themselves and they said, Lord, surely you're righteous. We're wrong in what we did. And the moment that something changed in their hearts, Zechariah came to them and said, thus saith the Lord, from today, mark it on your calendars.
Amen.
Because of even your desire to do things right, from today I'll bless you.
Amen.
I'll bless you. And then all of a sudden the locusts wouldn't come like they used to come. And the blight wouldn't blight their crops. And, you know, the harsh frost wouldn't come and maybe destroy the potatoes and stuff. And God was trying to show the link between the natural and the spiritual to his children. That what happens in the natural, it's because of events in the spiritual. Sort it out in the spiritual. Bring yourself back in line and God will take care of the rest. And it's always like that. So when Israel now didn't keep their 70 Sabbaths, God sent them the prophet and said, consider your ways. And he sent them prophets, the Bible says. But they wouldn't incline their ear. They wouldn't listen to the voice of the judgment. They wouldn't get in the channel. The prophet says, the problem is people don't pray enough. It says they don't dig down deep enough to get into the spirit of revelation. It says they just take it lightly. They just allow it to pass over their heads. We don't need to be doing that in this age, friends. In this late hour, we should be digging down into the word to get into the spirit of revelation. To put oil in the lamp so that quickening power can govern us in the way that we conduct ourselves in this late hour. It's all in that channel that God opens, that prophetic channel. But most people won't take the time or the effort to get into that channel.
Amen.
They just take it lightly. So, verse 5. What did the prophet say to them? They said, turn ye again. Can you see how God always wants to turn his people? Turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings and dwell in the land. If you turn, you'll dwell in the land. But if you don't turn, you're not going to dwell in the land. That's what they were being told. If you don't turn, if you don't walk with God in the covenant land, you're not going to enjoy the benefits of the covenant land anymore.
Amen.
Because they're linked together. Verse 9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about and will utterly destroy them. Yay! American Israel is going to have their parallel. God's going to send his prophetic voice. He's going to send his warnings. The people aren't going to turn. God's going to bring people from far. And there's going to be judgment.
Amen.
And God's going to start judging those people in their land. Verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
Amen.
Now friends, the timing of God's judgment is just as perfect as the method of his judgment.
Amen.
If something happens at a certain time, there's a voice behind it. It didn't happen then for nothing.
Amen.
It happens for a purpose. There's a reason. God could have judged them 50 years before, 100 years before. He didn't. This judgment and the timing of it had a specific point, specific reason. Why God was going to judge them. And he was going to judge them for an exact length of time. 70 years. Why? Let's go and read it in 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 15. It's similar. But you've got to be careful, friends, because you find in the message these things take in place. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, it's rising up early, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So God warned them first because of his compassion. Verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. And the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Hey, the covenant people of God mocking his prophets, mocking his messengers, misusing his prophets. It doesn't go well for people when they do that, friends.
Amen.
Doesn't go well for a people. But when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward. God will bless you. God says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. It's a strong principle, friends. When somebody comes in the name of the Lord, when God vindicates and backs up a prophet, be careful what you say about that prophet. Be careful about misusing God's prophets. But they didn't realize the importance of these men that God sent. And they took Jeremiah and threw him in prison and put him down in that miry well and so forth. Verse 17. Therefore, see, it's a therefore. There's always a therefore, there's a reason. Because they did this, therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary. The young men couldn't overcome even in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
That's a worrying time, friends.
Amen.
When you're right in the covenant land, you're right in the place God chose to place his name, and you can't overcome your enemies. Babylon is overcoming you. Call a halt and consider your ways. Because God's trying to teach you something. Something's wrong. And what you bring it down to, what do you think of his messengers, his prophets? Are you misusing the prophets? People do that. They take the quotes and they misuse them, friends.
Amen.
We make our own groups and we say, me, I'm bigger than you and all that. Misusing the prophets. Amen. Let's not be guilty of that, friends. Let's use things the way that they were supposed to be used. Let's keep it as a sacred thing. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young men or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Hey, now, remember when we did September 11, 9/11? Who's America fighting now? The Chaldees. Where do ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these guys come from? That's the very place. That's the very place. That's the very origin. We're right back to the beginning again. And the enemies they're fighting against are getting more fierce by the generation that's been raised up. The more that America hardens itself and breaks the covenant laws of God and misuses what God ordained them to be, the more fierce the punishment's coming upon them. I thought, what's going to happen in the end? God's going to send the king of the north. Exactly like he did to Israel. The king of the north is Russia. And Russia, go and read Ezekiel 38, allies itself with all those Muslim nations. And you're going to find America is going to be destroyed. The seventh vision, I saw America as a smoking ruin from horizon to horizon. There was nothing left standing. Friends, it's a serious age that we're living in. And that September the 11th judgment was a serious portent of things to come. It was a birth pain of God's judgment. It's like Vietnam. It was a birth pain in a measure. And then came September the 11th. It was a birth pain. And then America goes and tries to overcome its enemies. Can't overcome its enemies anymore. Consider your ways.
Amen.
But they don't want to consider their ways. They want to listen to the false prophets and all that kind of a thing. So God had compassion to warn them by his prophets. Then at the end it says, God sent Nebuchadnezzar, who had no compassion upon them, and destroyed them. It's a serious thing, friends. It's the last days of Israel we're speaking about. And now we're speaking about the last days of America. That's where we've entered into. And don't forget what God says about nations that forget God. God shall cast into hell the nations that forget God.
Amen.
The nations that forget God. That forget the very purpose that they were raised up for. The end of them is worse than the beginning. Let's finish those verses on verse 20 and then we'll get into a few slides. If you go to verse 20, bro. Just to show how precise God was. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years.
Amen.
So, the judgment was perfectly in accordance with the transgression. God says 70 times, you didn't keep the terms of my covenant. You didn't allow the Sabbath year. Now it's going to become a judgment to you. And God made it so precise. He brought it at a certain time. And he brought it in a certain manner. And it lasted exactly 70 years. And God even told them, it's going to be 70 years. And the reason I'm judging you like this is because you are my covenant people. And you were unfaithful in the covenant land.
Amen.
My, God is so precise, friends. Amen. Now those Chaldees, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in control of events here. He thought, hey, I've got a big army. Let me go and invade Judah. But who was in control? God is in control.
Amen.
When those infidels who went and blasted the Twin Towers, they thought they were in control of events. But who was in control behind it all? Who's in control behind everything, friends?
Amen.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
He owns these things. Your house you live in, you don't own it.
Amen.
You're just a tenant. You're just a steward of what God has put inside of your hands.
Amen.
And be careful what you do with your stewardship.
Amen.
The money that you've got, you may think you own it. You don't.
Amen.
It belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
And God has given it to you as a stewardship. And God is going to hold us accountable for our stewardship. And God has come to the time now. He is holding America accountable for her stewardship.
Amen.
Of what he had committed to her.
Amen.
And she failed him dismally in the stewardship. And now the birth pains of judgment are upon her. Now, America, what have they been doing? You cannot make war against the source of your blessing and expect to be blessed.
Amen.
You can't make war against God, who's the very source of the blessings that you've got.
Amen.
The very reason you've got the blessings, the very reason they had the land, was because of the Lord God of heaven.
Amen.
Now you start outlawing his word from schools. You're not allowed to use the name of Jesus in the military. Yeah? You start calling good evil and evil good. You start saying it doesn't matter what that word says. We'll make our own laws of marriage. We'll make our own laws of abortion. We'll make our own laws. And anybody who does stand for the very principle which caused us to be blessed will be outlawed from society. How long can a nation last like that?
Amen.
Friends, you can't fight against the God who blessed you and expect him still to bless you.
Amen.
The very things that were a blessing to you before, God's going to start visiting them upon you in judgment to teach you the principle that I am the Lord. I am the possessor of these things. You are but man and I am God. And don't forget that. And God is going to show in our age just how much he is in control of all things. He's completely in control of all things. And he wants to reveal it as a blessing to his people. By giving you a triple blessing because of the Sabbath year. But if you're unfaithful and you push God out of your life, that same God's going to come back and use those same things they would have blessed you with, and he's going to make those the very sign of his displeasure upon you. Which is what he's doing to America. The very things that were a blessing to them, God brings them around now. Because the physical things that we see and what happens are determined by spiritual principles. And God is the Lord of those spiritual principles. And even if we don't want to acknowledge Him, it doesn't matter. God still makes sure those laws operate according to His principles. Because God being God isn't determined by us believing that He's God. Even if you don't believe He's God, He's still God. Even though you don't give Him the position, He's still the King. He's still the Lord. He still rules over everything. And we have to bow down to Him, friends, if we want to be blessed and prosper in Him, in His compassion. So God timed that. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, go now. And Nebuchadnezzar, thinking that he was just leading himself, he went down exactly at that time. And then God said to Cyrus, Cyrus, now, go and destroy Babylon. After 70 years, yeah? And Cyrus came and destroyed Belshazzar that night, Belshazzar's feast. And here came Cyrus after 70 years. And God calls him my anointed. And Cyrus said, who's of the Lord's people? Let him go back. My. Can you just see that even the heathen kings, the heathen waging war against Israel, it was according to God's timetable. Amen. Everything works according to God's laws and His timetables. You may not believe in God, but you still have to obey the law of gravity. Jump from too high. See what it's like. That's a law. It's still, you're going to have to obey it. God has these spiritual principles. So God sends this forth. So, what is God judging now? As we get into this next Sabbath year, as we come to a close, I'm not going to take you back to the whole of Laodicea. I'm not going to claim credit for this research. It's a rabbi who did it once again. But I really filtered it through the mess and I said, this is truth. I want to show you that every single major financial crash of the last 100 years perfectly is in the Sabbath year. Every single one without a fail. And the economists have recognized it themselves. They call it the cycle of 7 years. And they don't understand why it happens. But God, looking down at Laodicea, saying we are rich and we have need of nothing. We don't need God. What's the first thing God's going to start to judge to try to get people's attention? He's going to start judging their riches. He's going to start putting His hand forth against their finances. He's going to start bringing birth pains in the economies. And as a woman comes closer to deliver, the birth pains are going to get closer and closer and closer and closer together until there's the final travail which brings forth the whole thing. And friends, God is behind all of these things. The very first crisis of Laodicea. Now this is taken the percentage that the stock market crashed in that crisis. The very first one was in 1916 and 17, which was during the First World War. The stock market crashed 40%. It was a major, major event that took place. And there were several reasons what happened. And that started the end of the British Empire. And the rise of the American Empire came at that time. But it was 1916, 17, which was the Sabbath year. And that crisis happened exactly in the Sabbath year, if you go and study it. It happened exactly in the bounds of that Sabbath year. So God, having warned His people through the ages, having revealed Himself as God, especially America, He's going to judge the nations now. And He's going to judge the economies of the nations. The next one that came up was the Great Depression. It was the greatest of all crashes so far. The stock market crashed 86%. Imagine 86% of your wealth being wiped out in a crisis. You think you got 10,000 in the bank and you end up with 1,400 at the end of that. You've lost 86% of your wealth. Now, that Sabbath year, friends, like we said, what was it like? When the Sabbath year would come, what would happen? Production would stop. People would be unemployed. There was nothing to do. Amen. The banks wouldn't be lending money anymore because nobody needed to borrow money because there was nothing that needed to be sown anymore. It's exactly the same as these crises which we've been going through. Amen. You find when the crisis comes, a recession, the stock market crashes, what happens? The banks stop lending money. There's unemployment all around. People aren't sowing anymore into investment and so forth. It's exactly the same thing. The principle of God said it was in the Bible. Amen. That was the second one. There's six of them. The third one came 37, 38. They called it the recession of the Great Depression. Just when things started to improve, things went tumbling down once again. It was a birth pain. And the stock market went 50% down. And that was the next Sabbath year after the Great Depression, 1937, 1938. That's the time when that happened. Now, sometimes it spanned more than a year, but it always happened that the Sabbath year was right in the middle there. The next one, 1973. I don't know if Brother Brian remembers it. The oil crisis. We were all too young. I don't know if anybody else remembers. But there came a great crisis, and the stock market crashed 45%, and there was a great recession in Britain, and there was such unemployment, and inflation went so high. That was in 1973. And 1972-73 was the Sabbath year again. Is that possible? That can be a coincidence. Can it be a coincidence that every time in Laodicea, when a curse comes into their finances, there's a crash, and people lose their blessings, and there's judgment against the prosperity and the riches of the nations, especially America. They're the one that's always hit the hardest. And it always comes at the same time. Friends, I would start to pay attention and saying there's a God who rules over these things. And there's a principle in the things that he's doing, and he's trying to get our attention. We then come to the last two, which are our two that we know about. And look how they're getting more regular now. We get our great crash of 2000-2001 from September the 11th, the dot-com crash, when it crashed there. And we get to our great recession, which we're still trying to come out of now. Let me just show you those in a bit of detail. Here's 2000-2001. Here's the stock market. And it goes up, 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 up. And this is the beginning of the Sabbath year, where it goes the different color. And then the stock market goes down, down. And the greatest crash, which we'll see, 17th of September, the very last day of the Sabbath year, Elul 29, the day of release, when all debts were wiped out. The stock market crashed the greatest on the very last day of the Sabbath year. It's the greatest stock market crash in points in all history. Went down about 680-something points that first time. So it started exactly. Things go up, 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 up. You enter into your Sabbath year now. And God says, I want to teach you a principle about blessings and finance and economies. And who's really in control here? And from the beginning of the year, things started to go down. And as it came near to the end of the year, what happened? September the 11th, they crashed into the Twin Towers. There's such a panic in the world markets. They suspend the stock market from September the 11th to September the 17th. Then they say, okay, we'll open it on September the 17th. September the 17th is Elul 29, the last day, the day of release. They opened it, the stock market immediately crashed, the biggest crash that they've ever had up to that point. And people would have looked and said, okay, maybe it's just a coincidence. So God does it again exactly 7 years later. Exactly 7 years later. 2007. Things are going up. This time it went up a little bit after. Here's when the seventh year started. And then it goes. And look at the end. And when did the biggest crash happen? Elul 29. The last day of the Sabbath year. It was the biggest crash in stock market history. 777 points in a day. The stock market crashed. Exactly as the previous time before. Now, like somebody said, if you take evidence like that to Scotland Yard, they'll find God guilty. Because you will. Because there's got to be something behind this, friends. There's got to be something that's deeper just than what you and I can see. So it crashes exactly at that point. On that particular day, when they opened the stock market, you can read about it on the internet, they went to ring the bell of the stock exchange and it didn't ring. And the people said, this is an evil omen. This signifies something bad. And as soon as it opened, cha, the stock market went down. And now where are we? It crashed all the way through our great recession. And there it is where it's gone up to now. It's gone up to a higher point than it's ever gone. Friends, this is crazy. How can things be at a higher point than ever before with the way that things are so weak in the economies of the world? And just as we're entering into this next Sabbath year, like on the other years, we're getting right to a peak. We're getting right to a peak here once again. I don't know, friends. Like I say, God can act in any way that he desires and move and work in any way that he desires. But to me, when I look at these things, it speaks something to me. Amen. We're moving into something, friends. And with these blood moons, these signs in the skies, these natural signs, these portents, signs in the sun and the moon and the heavens. And when we see these birth pains down through our age of God blowing upon the economies of the earth, what are we heading for? We're heading for the final crash. To usher in the kingdom of the beast. That's what it is.
Amen.
The biggest crash. Great Depression. What did it do? Hitler rose up straight after that.
Amen.
In that Sabbath year when it crashed the stock market, the Great Depression, and the things were worth nothing. And here stepped up a man had all the answers. Here stepped up a man who says, I can fix it all for you, but you just got to give me unlimited power. And in their desperation for their lucre, for their money, for their pensions, for their jobs, as natural people would do, they sold everything out to Hitler. And within a short space of time, he was rounding up the Jews, rounding up the trade unions, rounding up his enemies, putting them in the concentration camps. And the prophet says, that was the pre-tribulation under Hitler. That was a type of the tribulation. Exactly a type of what's to come. Let's finish with a couple of scriptures, saints. I'll just skip the quotes the prophet says. Let's go to Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Let's just read it once again. He says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Then skip to 31. Look at the advice that he gives. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass. Now, I don't know what this year ahead holds, and neither do you. We can just look at what's happened, and we can look at what things seem to be pointing to. But to me, surely something's going to happen, because God is behind these things. And Jesus says, when you shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Amen.
So what should be our foundation? It's his word. All these other things are going to pass away except for his word. And take heed to yourselves.
Amen.
Take heed, friends.
Amen.
We said many times, take heed to yourselves.
Amen.
Get in the word. Listen to the messages. Take heed to yourselves.
Amen.
Be careful. Move closer to the Lord. Who knows what's coming? But before Jerusalem was judged, those disciples knew. They didn't know exactly the year. They didn't know exactly how it was going to be. But they saw the events. They saw the portents. They saw the signs in the skies. They saw all of these things working just exactly as the Son of Man had prophesied that they should work. And when the Romans came against them and blockaded the city, the Christians at first were caught inside. And then there came something and the Romans withdrew for a season and the Christians left and went across the Jordan River. And then the Romans closed their trap and destroyed Jerusalem. But not one of the believers was caught there, because they took heed to themselves.
Amen.
They took heed to the word which they had heard. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, partying, the cares of the joys of this life, entertainment, that your heart, the very thing that Elijah came to turn, so that you walk in the channel that God has opened for you in this age, that same heart gets overcharged, overflowing with the cares of this life, drunkenness of this age. It's easy, friends, to allow it to happen. And drunkenness and cares of this life so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. Amen. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. And that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Every time Jesus speaks of the end, he speaks of people sleeping. He speaks of people slumbering, the foolish virgin. Amen. Every time he speaks of the end, he says the same thing. Watch ye therefore. Amen. Watch and pray. Amen. Every single time. Amen. And that's what I just wanted to conclude with, friends. Let's be careful.
Amen.
Let's be careful. These things don't happen for nothing. God is behind the timetable of these things. I'm not saying the tribulation started next year. I don't know what's going to happen. But just according to the way that these birth pains are coming, I'm not expecting good things to come in the economy down the way. I'm not expecting it, friends. They built it up as a house of cards. There's no foundation to it. And now they've poured everything they could to fix this last problem, and they just squeaked it through. And now they have no more resources, they say, if the problem happens once again. They have nowhere to turn to. But we know who they'll turn to. We know. Friends, it's judgment time upon Babylon. That's what it is. But we're so glad we had a Daniel in our age who could read the handwriting on the wall. The parallel once again. I'm so glad for the message of the hour. And I would just encourage you, friend, get yourself in the Word. Stop playing around with the world. Stop fooling around with Laodicea, the lukewarmness of this age. Because God is not happy with this age, friends. And God's hand of judgment, the prophet says, the judgments of God already in the earth. And we see them manifest themselves in so many different ways. I would say the best thing, shut yourself into your secret chamber. Make sure you put the token of the blood upon the door that you sealed away in Christ. Pray, take heed, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come upon the earth. Let's stand, friends. Like I say, friends, I'm not setting dates. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to show you. It's not my research on that. But when I read that the last couple of weeks and the whole pattern of these things, I said, this is the truth.
Amen.
This is perfectly in accordance with the message of the hour. That's really coming to the end of this age. Now, it can creak on for some time. I don't know. But friends, I'm expecting now. When you see these signs and portents all around, it should make a believer check up. The prophet says we should be checking up every hour. He says, check up and walk close to the Lord.
In these closing days of time, what joy that glorious hope affords, that soon, oh, wondrous truth sublime. He shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming soon, He's coming very soon. With joy we welcome His return. But I know He's coming soon. The signs around in earth and air,
the signs
all painted on the starlit sky. God's faithful witnesses that the coming of the Savior draweth nigh.
He's coming soon.
He's coming
soon.
He's coming very soon.
With joy.
We welcome His
returning.
If may be more.
He's coming soon. The dead in Christ who need us lie.
The dead in Christ who need us lie.
In countless numbers, oh, shall rise.
They will rise.
Shall come to prepare a paradise.
Oh, hallelujah!
He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. With joy we welcome his return. But I know he's coming soon. And we who living yet remain,
we who living yet remain,
caught up shall meet our faithful Lord. This hope we cherish not in vain.
We cherish not in vain.
But we come one another by his word.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. With joy we welcome his return. I know he's coming soon.
He's coming soon and very soon.
He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. With joy we welcome his return. But I know he's coming soon.
Saints, nations are breaking.
Hallelujah.
Israel's awakening.
Amen.
Now, when you think of the coming of the Lord, what does it make you think of? When you think of the end, does it make you fear? Friends, don't fear.
Amen.
Do not fear. He's in control of all
Amen.
Things. The same God who ministered you into the message of the hour.
Amen.
In the midst of a spiritual famine, God thought of you.
Amen.
God loved you and he brought you to the place where there's mountains of bread. That's what the prophet saw in his vision. That same God who so cared for you spiritually
Hallelujah.
Will care for you naturally as well.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what happens to the economies of the world. It's just going to give him an opportunity to reveal the power of the covenant to us.
Amen.
That's what the third pool is going to be.
Amen.
The full manifestation of the power of the covenant in his people.
Amen.
And God just has to create the opportunity. So don't fear, friends.
Hallelujah.
All is well. Nations Amen. Are breaking. Israel's awakening.
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. Gentile is numbered. Horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for faith. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up. Your redemption is near. The victory is growing. Jerusalem's restoring. National Scatterings are falling. Return or disperse to your Lord. The day of redemption, it's here. Men's hearts are feeling for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. Heaven's powers are shaking, many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power shaking this hour. The day of redemption is now. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are feeling for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. False prophets are lying. Christ is our God. Though this generation God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have gone. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for. And pray. Look up, your redemption is here. You may ask yourself and say, but you know, maybe the cruse of oil is going to get low and the barrel of meal is going to waste. Friends, when you're under Elijah's economy, you don't have to worry. Even the ravens, the Lord can command them to feed you. We just heard about Brother Maxwell's son, who was caught right in the fierceness of the civil war then across in Ukraine. That town is the worst of all the towns where he was caught. But God laid it upon the heart of a raven. Amen. Of an unbeliever. A professor. And that man, when I heard from the believers across there in Ukraine, when I contacted them, they managed to contact that professor. They said that professor's a big shot in the town. And that professor just so much liked Brother Gideon, Brother Maxwell's son. And when everything fell apart and the war started, he took Gideon under his wing. And he took him and put him in his clinic, gave him a generator to use when there was no power in the rest of the city, and protected him and has fed him and has protected him to this day. Amen. And now Brother Maxwell's been in contact with him. He managed to get a hold of this professor, and they're trying to negotiate, trying to work out how to get the young man out of there, because it's still a dangerous place. But friends, God can raise up help from the most unlikely of places. My, I rejoiced when I said, Lord, in a place there, an atheistic country like that, in the midst of a civil war, you still were so mindful of your son. So mindful. He's never gone hungry. He's never had no water. The rest of the town, friends, has had a hard lot of trouble there. I'm sure when he comes, Brother Maxwell's trying to bring him here by the grace of God. I'm sure he'll have a mighty testimony about the faithfulness of God in troublous times. And friends, we all need that testimony. Let's sing some more. Let's come to a time of prayer.
Oh, the judgment day is coming. What a glory it shall be. Christ forever is my refuge. Rock of ages, pray for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, care for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, will
pleasures, with the pleasures, shall forever pass away.
Oh, my loving brother,
oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'd be over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, live for me.
Poor lost
sinners will be crying for the hope they'll never see, but the ransom will be singing, rock of ages, live for me.
Oh, my loving,
oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'd be over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, live for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'll be over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me.
The judgment day is coming. It's already here, friends. Can you not see it all around? There's insanity among the nations. The prophet says the last plague, he says, before the coming of the Lord, he says, apart from spiritual death, he says, I say, thus saith the Lord, before the second coming of Christ, the world will go completely insane.
Amen.
My friends, the world has gone insane. Amen. The fashions have gone insane. The music's gone insane.
Amen.
The way people do their hair has gone insane. Amen. What people believe has gone insane. But friends, we're built on a solid rock.
Amen.
On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Aren't you glad that Elijah has come and turned your heart back again?
Amen.
That our hearts aren't in Laodicea. He's turned our hearts right the way back to the original faith.
Amen.
That was once delivered unto the saints. We believe the original word. We have the original life. Let's sing that song, the original life. The original. Let's come to a time of prayer.
Life, the original seed. The original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man,
oh, the Son
is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original sin. His attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord
for the original life.
The original life, original seed,
the original word.
Oh,
it's what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man,
oh, the Son of Man.
The seventh seal is unveiled.
The original
word.
The original seed.
Oh, we are the Word made flesh. This is what the scriptures say, and our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God,
who's the original life.
The original seed, the original life,
is what I believe,
what I believe,
the Son of.
unveiled the original light. Eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True Jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our goal.
Who's the original light?
The original, oh, the original seed, the original word.
It's what I believe,
what I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man,
oh, the Son of Man.
The seventh seed is unveiled, the original light, the original seed.
We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days will be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original
light.
The original
seed,
the original seed, the original word.
It's what I believe,
what I truly believe.
The Son of Man,
oh, the Son of Man,
the seventh seed is unveiled,
the original
light, the original seed.
Saints, this has come to a time of worship. I'm sure you just want to speak to the Lord. I just want to speak to the Lord. If you have fear inside of yourself, uncertainty, speak to the rock. Speak to Him. Make your things right with Him. If you see God's judgment is judging certain aspects of your life, consider your ways. Humble yourself and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? Because the Bible says, as many as I love, I chastise and I rebuke. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, the Bible says. God doesn't correct you in His anger. He corrects you in His love. Because He wants you to reform. He wants to turn your heart from your own selfish, arrogant, ignorant, stubborn ways to His ways. Because His ways are better than our ways, friends. He wants to give us victory in the end. He wants to give us blessing in our latter end, He said. But we've got to allow Him to minister us back. So let's seek His face. Let's call upon His name. Whatever you need before the Lord, let's speak to Him this afternoon. Father, just as your people, thank you, Father, that you've given us an opportunity to come unto Thee once again. Just wanting to worship Thee, Lord, upon this day. Just want you to praise Thee, Lord. Sing that one. The judgment day is coming again, right? Amen. Let's just continue to worship before we close, saints. Let's sing that song again, oh my loving brother. When this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow?
Amen.
Hey, what greater pillow could there be,
amen,
than the bosom of the Most High?
Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge, Rock of Ages, care for me.
Oh, my loving brother,
oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire,
don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow?
Hide me over in the Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, care for me.
Sounding of the trumpet at the dawn of the day, worldly pleasures with the treasures numbered by
castle. Oh, my loving brother, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'd be over in the rock of his rock of ages, wait for me. All my sinner will be crying for the home they never see, but the ransom only sing it, rock of ages, wait for me. Oh, my loving brother, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'd be over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me.
Oh, my loving brother,
oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I'd be over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me.
Brother Wilmer had an announcement here. All the saints are invited to Brother Wilmer's house on Saturday, next Saturday at 1 p.m. for a short time of fellowship. I'm sure there's a mystery in that short time. Also an announcement that not next weekend, but the following weekend, Brother Mike's going to have to be on his best behavior because his father-in-law's coming. Pastor Msamange is coming from Malawi to visit with his wife. So we've been in contact. So they'll be with us 2 weekends from now. So Brother Msamange will be taking services that weekend and possibly the following weekend after that as well. So please keep in prayer for those meetings. We'll announce the final arrangements next weekend once we know them. But he's coming in, I think, on the Wednesday or the Thursday. Not this week, but the following week. So please keep those meetings in prayer as well. Let's sing one more song. We ask Brother Will to come and close for us in a word of prayer. Whatever you want there, Brother George, and God bless you. Saints.
No, we shall rise.
Let's sing that song. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
My hope, hope is built
on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me. Yeah.
sinking sand. All out the ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found,
dressed
in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the
spotless, O Christ, and all
out the ground, he sinking sand, all out the ground is sinking sand.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we say amen to thy
amen,
word
Lord.
This afternoon, Lord.
Amen.
We are so thankful, for we are a privileged people indeed, Lord. Father, how you have chosen us in this day to hear these things. Father, when there are so many other people that are seemingly, Lord, Father, more wiser than us, Lord, but you have selected us, the simple, that we may hear the counsels of thy word. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, how you have given us the victory, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For Father, you have not revealed these things to us to put fear in our hearts, Lord, but that, Father, you have revealed these things to give us joy.
Amen.
Father, oh God, to show us, Lord, that the day of our redemption is indeed drawing nigh, oh God. And Father, what a state it has put us in our hearts, Lord. Father, oh God, not that we may go and take out insurance for this and that, for all that too
yes,
may
Lord.
Fail, it
Amen.
Will fail, Lord. Father, as the powers of heaven are shaking,
Amen.
There is only one place where we could be found, and that's in Christ, Lord.
Yes.
And I'm so glad, Lord, to be numbered among your
yes,
children.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Us,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
That we may
Amen.
Consider our ways,
Amen.
That
yes.
we may take heed
Amen.
To this
Amen.
Word, Lord,
yes, Lord,
for it's grace unto us, Lord,
yes, Lord.
To hear
yes,
these
Lord.
Things.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Father, that, Lord, when we would consider every facet of our life
Amen.
And find any place, Lord, where we are found lacking, that we may not rest, Lord, but to press in, Lord.
Yes.
Oh God, to bring you on the scene,
Amen.
To come face to face, Lord,
yes,
with
Lord.
Every situation, that we may make right, Lord, to follow thy commandments.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, for everyone that has heard this message,
oh,
that, Father, it may not be only knowledge to
yes.
us, Father, that but, Father, we may go out there, Lord, and let it do what you have sent it to be in our
Amen.
Lives.
Yes,
Father, that you may be glorified.
Yes.
Father, we pray, Lord, oh God, for the meetings coming with our
Amen.
Brother Msamange, praying for his journey,
yes,
that you
Lord.
Bring him safely,
Please, Lord.
I pray, Father, even for my brother Teach,
Amen.
Lying in a hospital bed.
Yes,
I thank you, Father, that
Amen.
You saved his life,
Amen.
And that you worked it in such a way that it was only him in the car.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
I thank you, Lord, may
thank
you
Lord.
Touch him,
Amen.
Father, that he may be restored fully, oh
Hallelujah,
God.
Lord.
Father, even as
yes.
we depart, Lord, I pray for our brother Andrew.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for your Amen. Touch upon him, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that you may restore strength and virtue
Please,
unto
Lord.
Him.
Hallelujah.
How he's been faithful, Lord,
oh, Lord,
taking all these things and all these researches
oh,
and filtering them through your word.
Amen, Lord.
For we realize, Lord, that this kind of knowledge in the hands of worldly men,
Amen.
How they would form cults with it, Lord,
yes, Lord,
to draw men unto themselves.
Oh, Lord.
But we thank you for him, Lord,
oh, Lord,
that you have used him, Lord,
yes, Lord.
Father, to filter it out, Lord, for your children.
Amen.
Father, that you may prepare us for the times that are coming.
Yes,
may
Lord.
You bless him, Lord,
Please,
and
Lord.
Continue to bless his ministry,
Amen.
Remembering, Lord, every brother, every sister,
yes.
Lord, helping in this
Hallelujah.
Ministry, the
Amen.
Musicians, Lord, the cleaners,
yes, Lord. Yes,
the
Lord.
Ones
yes.
that operate the instruments,
Amen.
I pray your blessing
Amen.
Upon
Amen.
Each and every
yes,
one of them.
Lord.
Help us, Father, oh God, that, Father, whatever the devil may yes, throw Lord. At us, Lord, that, Father, we may just become closer and closer to you,
Amen.
And closer with one another.
Yes,
bless
Lord.
Us, Father, for the remainder of this day.
Please,
may you
Lord.
Bless our fellowships, that, Father,
Amen.
They be only on things heavenly, that
Amen.
We may lay aside, Lord, the things of this world,
yes, Lord.
Father, and speak only of thy name.
Amen.
We ask your blessing now as we depart, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Thanks, brother. Let's finish with that one. Holy words, long preserved.
He was long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us grow in this world where every roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long for our walk in this world. May we sound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ever true,
changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words, ancient words, ancient words.